Hello everyone. Welcome to our recorded worship service from Dundalk Presbyterian Church on Sunday the 19th of April. My name is Jonathan Porter and I am the minister of the church. For those of you who are listening today who are part of our church in Dundalk, I hope you are keeping well, and may I say I am very much missing you all and I look forward to a time when we can join together again. For any visitors online who are joining us, may I take this time to thank you for listening to our service. It's lovely to have you, and I hope you are keeping well and safe wherever you are. May you all be assured of my thoughts and prayers at this difficult time. Before we begin our time of worship, may I use this opportunity to make some brief announcements. Firstly, this Tuesday evening, the 21st of April at 8 p.m, we are hoping to have our second online prayer meeting via Zoom. Thank you to everyone who joined us last time. I know I was blessed to pray with you all, and if you are able, it would be lovely to have you join with us on Tuesday, and details will be shared on our Facebook page. Each Thursday, I will upload a short video giving a Bible reflection for that day, so please take time to listen to that as we think about God's Word. If you are listening to this on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel, Dundalk Presbyterian Church. If we get over 100 subscribers, then it will give us some more features that we can use on our YouTube channel. Lastly, if anyone needs any help in any way, practical or just a chat, then please do feel free to get in touch with me. Those are all of the announcements. Let us begin our time of worship by reading from God's Word, from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us worship our faithful God now as we sing together our first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge, like the psalmist today, that you are a good God, that you are a faithful God, and that you alone are worthy of our praise and adoration. We thank you that we have known you at work in our lives this week. We thank you for the strength that you have given us when we have felt weak, for your guidance when we've lacked direction. We thank you for your peace that transcends all understanding and dispels our fears. We thank you for being with us even when we felt all alone, for drawing near to us in our moments of despair. We rejoice today in your grace that is more than sufficient for all our needs. Lord, as we give you thanks for your faithfulness to us, please forgive us when we fail to live the lives you have called us to live. So often we forget you and sin against you without considering how much you love us. You see our sins more clearly than we can ourselves. Lord, you know the idols of our hearts. You know when we are untruthful and when we think evil of others. You see our anger and unfairness. You know how hard it is for us to forgive. Forgive us, Lord, and may we remember that we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we pray your blessing on those who are suffering from the effects of the coronavirus. We pray for those people around the world who are developing better tests to diagnose the virus. We pray for those who are trying to develop vaccines to prevent it. We pray, Father God, for your blessing upon our own land at this time. Give wisdom to all those who are making decisions that affect our lives and the futures of our families, our friends and communities. We pray your blessing upon your church. Give us peace, protect us, and may we find rest in the Lord's provision. We especially remember those today who are vulnerable in our church. Protect them from harm and be their comfort at this time of uncertainty. Finally, we ask your blessing on our time together through this service. Help us to worship you in reverence, with great understanding and a deep sense of gratitude. We remember all who meet across this land today to praise your wonderful name. Help them as you help us to worship you in a way that pleases you. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We want to take time now to read again from God's word. We're turning to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Before Christmas, we as a church were looking at the Gospel of Mark. We spent time in chapters 1 through to chapter 3. But now we're turning back to chapter 4, and we want to turn to the last part of this chapter as we continue our studies in Mark's Gospel. Verse 35. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, Let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. We thank God for his word that we can read together. One of the big questions we ask in life is, Who is Jesus? This question has been discussed throughout history. It is a question for our generation and the generations to come. It's an important question because how you answer that question will have a major influence on how you live your life. One of the purposes of Mark's gospel is to help us to understand who is Jesus. Mark reveals to us that Jesus is no ordinary man. He is no mere prophet. He is the Son of God, the one who has all power and authority. And today, as we come to Mark chapter 4, we are going to look at the story of Jesus calming the storm. Through this story, Mark teaches us who Jesus is and why that is important for you. Now, verse 35 tells us that after a long day of ministering and teaching the people, Jesus asked the disciples to take him in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a large freshwater lake, measuring approximately 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, and is shaped like a harp. And if you ever had an opportunity to go out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, you'll be certainly warned that there is a profound danger of storms arising there without warning. In 1992, one such storm generated 10 feet high waves on the lake, causing flooding and damage to the city of Tiberias. And when Jesus and his disciples began their journey, we assume the conditions on the lake were ideal. But the tranquility of their journey ended when suddenly we read in verse 37 that a furious wind came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The winds got stronger, the waves got bigger, and these disciples, some of whom were experienced fishermen, knew they were in trouble. I think we can all picture this scene in our minds when we see those movies like Perfect Storm, where the water is spraying everywhere and the boat is rocking side to side. And as the disciples are confronted with the terror of a storm, they are filled with fear, fully aware of their inability to deal with it. Oh yes, they can try and steer their way through the waves and hope that they don't take on too much water that they might sink. But they're at the mercy of the waves and the wind. They are filled with fear because they can do nothing to stop the storm. Have you ever been on a plane going through strong turbulence? Probably most of the people on the plane hold on to their armrests for dear life and pray. It is in these moments that I think that even atheists pray. But there is always one or two that no matter how bad the turbulence gets are half asleep. They are not bothered by it at all. And in our story we see that Jesus is not bothered by the turbulence. As the disciples are in a state of great fear, we are told in verse 8 that Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. It is almost surreal that in this moment, Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. The authority of Jesus means that he is calm in the midst of a storm. But the disciples are far from calm. They were terrified by this storm, and to their credit, they turned to Jesus in their fear. But to their discredit, they took his ability to sleep through the storm as a lack of concern for their safety. Here we notice that the disciples were both scared and angry with Jesus. And they say to Jesus in verse 38, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" When Jesus awoke and heard the disciples' rebuke, he does two things. Firstly, Jesus calms the storm by rebuking the elements. In verse 39, we read that Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind completely died down and it was completely calm. Like a child who delights in obeying their parents, we see creation delighting in obeying its creator as the sea becomes like glass and the breeze evaporates completely. Everything was calm. Here Jesus demonstrates his divine power and authority over all creation. Through this action of calming the storm, Jesus teaches us that he is the Son of God, the one who has all power and authority, that even the wind and the waves must obey him. So Jesus calms the storm. But then he causes one. In verse 40, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Here Jesus rebukes his disciples for their lack of faith. We are told that the disciples were terrified and they say to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now this word terrified in verse 41 can also be translated as great fear. And for the disciples, this was a moment of awe. It was a moment of great fear. It was a moment when they realized that they were in the presence of someone unlike anyone else. R.C. Sproul says that the disciples got a glimpse of the holiness of Christ that night on the Sea of Galilee. In the middle of a storm, Christ revealed his power before their very eyes, and they knew that Christ was no mere prophet. Finding themselves in the presence of the Almighty, they were fearful. They realized that they were not worthy to be in the presence of God. That is what happens when you get a glimpse of the holiness of God. You bow in awe and humble adoration. You know, if Christ were to knock on your door today, you would not say, "Hi, buddy, nice to see you." Rather, you would fall on your face in awe. Such is his power, his glory, and holiness. At the start of our story, we see that the disciples were in fear of the elements of the storm. But by the end of the story, we see that they were in great fear of the one who controlled the elements, the very one who rowed in the boat alongside them. And let me share three things to take away from our story. Firstly, Jesus reveals who he is through the storm. As Jesus calms the storm, he reveals to us that he is the one who has all power and authority, that even the wind and the waves obey him. He is the Son of God. Sometimes it can take a storm in your life to reveal to your heart who God is. I don't think the disciples will ever forget that day in the boat. Perhaps when you look back on your life, when you remember those difficult moments, those storms of life, perhaps it was in those times that God revealed himself to you in a way like no other. And as we go through the storm of COVID-19, let's pray through this time of uncertainty that people will hear about Jesus so that they might come to know who God is. I was chatting to a person the other day, and although they were saddened we cannot meet together in our local church building, they were encouraged by the fact that so many churches are broadcasting their services online, that people can hear the gospel in their own homes. And what excited the person the most was that there are some people who may never go to church, maybe because they feel too uncomfortable in a church building, but now they can listen to God's word. Praise God that he reveals himself through the storms of life. Secondly, Jesus is with his church through the storms of life, just like he was with the disciples in the boat. Now, not only does this story reveal to us the divine glory of Christ, it also reveals his presence in times of need. In the midst of a frightening storm on the lake, and in spite of the disciples' failing faith, the sovereign Lord is with them in the boat. You see, Christ is faithful. He is faithful to his promise to never leave you nor forsake you. He is faithful to the fact that he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us in the good times or the bad, in the ups or the downs, in the calms and the storms. Christ is by his disciples' side. He is the one that we can turn to in our moments of fear, knowing that he is with us and will sustain us. Finally, let us realize that Christ is the only one who can help you defeat the storm of sin in your life. The greatest storm of life is not physical. It is spiritual. It is a storm of sin. Every day the waves of sin beat at the border of your heart, and like the disciples in the boat, you have no ability whatsoever to beat it. It is only by trusting in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can know the calm waters of salvation. I finish with the words of John Newton, the captain of a slave ship before he became an Anglican minister. He says this: "Our voyage through life will sometimes be disturbed by storms, but the Lord Jesus is an infallible, almighty pilot. The wind and the seas obey him. He takes charge of all who will entrust themselves to him." May I encourage you to trust in this infallible, almighty pilot to guide you through the waters of life. As I bring our time of worship to a close, I will say the benediction, and then our final hymn will be "The Church's One Foundation." Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, evermore. Amen.